It's Fans on Patrol time. It's Fans on Patrol time.
That is right. It's episode 298, and you tuned in to the best hour of podcasting on the planet. It's Fans of Patrol time. I am the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. You tuned into episode 298, The Fugitive, continuing our summer of big blockbuster movies. With me is my sensitive co-host, who's always sensitive, Miss Tiffobot. How are you this week, Tiff?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing just capital. And my other co-host, don't let me not forget to call him my co-host, Mr.
S-M-O-O-V-E, spell smooth. What up?
Okay. And I thought you was going to say not sleepy, because that's what I'm looking at. Wake up, smooth.
I'm good.
Wake
man.
Up. I'm
good.
Telling y'all, man, we got problems doing this stuff on in the morning sometimes.
I'm going to put my sunglasses on.
So he can pretend to sleep over there, y'all. Anyway.
My Homer Simpsons.
So, man, we have a dynamite show for you. We got a couple of trailers that we hadn't heard of until they just popped up from nowhere. I mean, it's kind of funny during this pandemic time, because things just happen now. You know, it's not like you hear about it for a year and then, you know, which I kind of like, because I kind of hate shit out a year out.
Oh, get a surprise.
Yeah. So we got Raised by Wolves, right? We're going to talk about that. We're going to look at that. And that's something that's going to be available pretty soon for you. Also, we think we got some stuff I'm thinking about leaving. And listen, don't stop the podcast. The stuff is worth it. Trust us. Wait till we start talking about it. Captain Marvel. And that's Captain Marvel. Marvel. Not DC Marvel. That's not Shazam. So, drop some news this week. And so we're going to talk about that. And we have a game this week. What we got, Tiff?
I made a game, and it's called Top of the Box Office.
Oh, this is new?
Yes. You guys have to tell me what year. Like, I tell you the year. You tell me the top grossing film of that year.
Oh, I like this game. So we got a brand new game.
Yes, it's multiple choice, or you can answer straight out. Of course, we'll talk about that at the time.
Oh, yes, new game. Lovely, smooth. I'm so excited. And what we got up? The big daddy for the day. We're going back in the day. We're grabbing Harrison Ford, Tommy Lee Jones, and a bunch of people who turned out to be stars afterwards in The Fugitive, 1993's Fugitive. And so that's the show for this week. You guys ready to roll?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Let's go. Indeed, love those tunes by DJ Poppy. And before we get going heavy duty into the podcast, man, why don't we hear from Mr. Smooth and find out how you can listen to all of our stuff and everywhere in the world. Smooth.
Certainly. For everything Fans on Patrol, you can go to fansonpatrol.com. If you want to reach us, you can reach us at fans@fansonpatrol.com. That's one word. Directly or via social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fans on Patrol. And you can listen to us on Pandora, iHeartRadio,
yes, new
Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Podbeam, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And please give us a rating and review on your favorite listening platform, and we'll shout you out on the air.
Yeah, don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube, too.
YouTube, yeah.
There we go. So, man, let's see. So, Tiff, this is your day. What do you have for us?
Okay. So, the first thing that we're going to talk about is a little very strange movie trailer. So, it's by, is it Charlie Kaufman? Is that his name? I'm not as familiar with the name of the guy, but like,
yeah, Charlie Kaufman.
He did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That I'm not aware of, but that is Charlie Kaufman.
What? Okay.
Not heard of that one. You seen that?
Yeah, it's good.
Of course. Like, she's surprised we haven't seen it.
Oh, wow.
So this is a movie, and it's called I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a woman, and she's going on a road trip with her boyfriend, who she's been dating for like a short period of time, to meet his parents. And then everything just gets really strange.
With that damn dog.
Oh, yeah. Shaking, woo, shaking.
Dude, you can hear that dog shaking for like the whole half the damn trailer. Just like,
right.
Feel bad for him.
Go ahead, Tiff. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So it's just like a weird, it's not quite horror because it's nothing really scary happens in this trailer. It's just, it's like a feeling of unease, I would say. It's like while you're watching it, you feel uncomfortable.
It looks like Charlie Kaufman just ripped off Jordan Peele style 100%. I'm just saying.
Well, us.
All of it. It does kind of feel like that. Mm-hmm. This is based on a book.
Okay.
And they say that it looks very similar to the book. People who have read it have said that this looks... So it's got Toni Collette in it, who I really adore.
Yeah, yeah, of course. She's great.
And I'm kind of surprised that she's in it because it's just like a Netflix.
And that's what the movie. Money is. That's the heaviest hitting studio in the world right now, Tiffabot.
And Tyler Perry studio probably.
But if you watch this trailer, some weird things happen. Like the people age like forwards and backwards.
Yeah.
She sees a picture on the wall, and she says, "Who is this?" And her boyfriend says, "It's me," and she says, "No, it's me."
Yeah.
Just like weird stuff. If you watch this trailer, you're probably not going to be like, "Oh, this movie is about XYZ." You're going to be like, "Oh, this movie is about some fucked up shit." Because like she's going to leave and she's getting some ice cream
in the dead of winter. I always find it strange when people do that.
I get ice cream at Dairy Queen in the middle of winter.
I always find that strange. I'd be like, "Man, I eat ice cream, and it's cold out here."
Yeah, I could never do that.
But the girl says, you know, you don't have to go.
Mm-hmm.
They talk
anyway.
Almost like a plea for help in that little scene. Mm.
But you guys know that I love this weird shit. Like, here's the thing. I will probably, even if I don't like this movie, mm-hmm, I will probably always love this trailer.
Oh, wow. That's interesting, Tiff. Because in my opinion, and I guess I'll just go, when it first came on and the guy gets in the car and they do the little pecky pecky kiss, I'm like, what's this shit Tiffobot got us watching? That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, boy. But then that damn dog, you know, I was like, it won't stop. And they talking, and the dog, and you can still hear the dog shaking. And they look back, and the dog is shaking. And it's so weird. And it spirals out of control with weird. I'm like I said, if you told me this was Jordan Peele, I'll say, okay, absolutely it is. If you told me this was a Twilight Zone Jordan Peele, I would say, absolutely, sure it is. You know, so it looks completely in that exact same vein, like a Bandersnatch, something crazy, you know, something that doesn't make sense. And so this looks great. I wouldn't mind doing this on the show, you know, because this, it does look like it's going to turn into a balls to the wall, a horror movie, you know, toward the end. I mean, because it's just weird. What's up with them people dancing in that school? I don't know.
Right. Why is she there? What's up with the car that's snowing in the middle of the green field?
And what's up with eating that damn ice cream in the middle of winter? I don't know. Smooth. What you got?
Yeah, it looks weird. Yeah, I get. Well, the whole premise is she's breaking. I don't know if we mentioned that, but the whole thing is she's supposed to break up with this guy on this road trip. And yeah, her family is, well, his family is, wow. they're special. Yeah, I would say that. They're very interesting. Yeah, this is a weird looking situation here. I kind of like it. I think it might turn into a horror.
Dude, I'm in.
Even if it doesn't, though, like you say, even if it doesn't turn into a horror, it might, you know, it should find interest. I just think that the trailer is a little too long. Just a little bit.
Oh, really?
Just a little bit. Maybe about 15 seconds, you know, because I think the dancing, when you showed them dancing in the hallway doing the ballet stuff, that kind of, like, all right, you know, it's just my opinion. But,
so are you in or not out, Smooth?
Yeah, I'm in. I want to see how she's going to break up with this dude with all this weird stuff going on. Like, is it even going to happen, you know? So,
and Tiff, of course,
I'm thinking, I'm totally in. Yeah, yeah. I think if you haven't seen this trailer, if you like things that are, like, maybe not scary per se, but, like, make you just feel that weird, like, out-of-body kind of, like, creepy, but not scary. I would recommend watching this trailer at least.
Yeah, I think it's still scary, but that's just me. I think it's crazy, you know, especially that the parents keep changing every scene and stuff. Like, and it's like one of those, did he have a whole grain of hair? Oh, wait a minute. Was she bald just a minute ago? You know, it's like that stuff when you see things subtly and you notice them, but you don't notice them.
Reminds me of the old lady off of, what you call it? It, kind of.
Oh, yes.
You know, until she went to the room and got big and I was all naked and stuff.
So I'm thinking of leaving. Yes. What else we got, Tim?
Okay. So Captain Marvel 2 has found a director. And she's a fairly new director.
Mm-hmm.
But her name's Nia DaCosta.
Mm-hmm.
And she directed Candyman, speaking of
yes,
Jordan Peele. She directed the Candyman remake, which is coming out in October yet.
I found that funny to be tooting your horn on because we haven't seen Candyman.
Well, I mean, it's getting a big response, so that's why.
It's a big response from people who nobody's seen it, so it's like.
It's all the people who've seen Candyman. Seen the first Candyman, you know, love the Candyman.
Yeah, we can't trust that garbage, you know. So.
No, that wasn't garbage. The Candyman was good, man. That was true.
That's
a good movie, yeah. Didn't like it.
I effing hate it.
Well, okay, that's you.
Oh, Lord.
Candyman was good, though.
Candyman.
It was a good movie.
Okay, so that's why they make another one. 4-5 times now. We got you.
Well, what you do to it on it. That's all
right. So,
but even like you can see her visual style in the trailer, which I think is like a nice visual style. So, I mean, sure. I think they've done a good job wanting female directors. This female director is black, which is great. So, just to have like different perspectives.
That's cool, but I can't get excited for something I haven't seen yet. You know, I mean, if you said you know, Ryan Coogler, you know, he had literally, I seen Creed 2, you know, Creed come out, and I was like, oh god, you know, I like that dude's style, and he made so many interesting choices in the Creed movie that I could at least get excited. Now I think Candyman was supposed to have been out by now. I think it got delayed, you know, so. You know, with this announcement, you know, maybe, you know, the Marvel people seeing Candyman and like, look, this chick got, you know, got some chops. Let's do it. She might and she might not. You know, I'm glad that they're doing more diversity. You know, y'all need to just keep it, you know, more than just white men can direct films now these days. And could always other people could direct films. So great. And, you know, I think the movie is going to have a large minority presence in it again. Just like the first one, because, you know, I don't know which route they're going, but the little girl should be grown by now, and I think we might get some other Captain Marvel. What's the other Captain Marvel's name? You know, Rambrew, the daughter, Monica Rambrew.
Right.
So I don't know where it's going to go. I'm glad they're doing something diverse, but I can't get excited for something I haven't seen yet. You know, you're getting me hype over something that only y'all seen, you know.
I don't know if it's just an announcement. I don't know if they're like, get hype.
Oh, no. They do nothing by chance, you know.
Well,
they wouldn't have said nothing if they wasn't trying to get you hype for something.
Well, I mean, this is Marvel, so this isn't, like you said, this isn't some little, you know, up and coming production company or, you know, film. This is Marvel, so obviously if they picked her, they see some, you know, good talent.
So, I don't know, Tiff, I'm sure you're fine with this, right?
Oh yeah, I wouldn't even care if she was a brand new director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good point too.
She has two films. She has another film.
Listen, they used to hand $1 billion titles over to chump little dudes like Brett Ratner and what's the guy who did Bryan Singer. I mean, these cats had nothing under their belt when they came in, and they was giving them here's Mortal Kombat, here's the X-Men, here's this, here's that. You're like, damn, they ain't proved shit, you know. So yeah, get out of my face.
So yeah, I think everyone deserves a little chance, and if they've proven that they've done a little bit of good stuff, then yeah, why not?
Who did the first? What was it, a female or a male that directed Captain Marvel? The first Captain Marvel?
You caught me off guard with that one, Smooth.
I think it was a female.
I think it was a woman and a man.
Okay, so yeah, so I'm thinking that this woman can bring that womanly feel to the
Well, we need that for. Fray.
What do you mean? What you need it for? I mean, because you know that's. It's a certain feel that's in a certain feel, a certain look. Maybe, you know, she can bring some more characteristics of Captain Marvel.
Anna Bolton, she directed the first one.
Yeah,
Anna Bolton and Ryan Fleck.
Right. So she, maybe she can bring a she can bring a better feel of Captain Marvel, a different feel of, you know, which would be more relatable and people would like her more.
Okay, so what we so everybody done, we done with this one, right?
Yeah. We got kind of like lost a little bit.
I know. So where we at now, Tim?
So the last thing I want to talk about is this Ridley Scott property being released for HBO Max called Raised by Wolves.
Damn. Ridley is busy. He's an old man, too. You know, it's not like he's a young dude. He's been super busy. So Ridley Scott, Raised by Wolves, is about to become the most anticipated sci-fi show. Now... Tiff, why don't you start then with that that noise you just made?
Well, it's like in the future, I guess, humans died.
Of course.
So they have androids or whatever they're called, machines, who take care of humans who I think have been genetically produced, like they're produced in tubes. And then they protect them and teach them how to live. That's really all I got. There's like some kind of threat, like a monster or a hunter.
Yeah.
Honestly, this looks like shit to me.
Oh, really? You know what I got for this?
I don't care about this at all.
I got a totally different vibe from this. When I was looking at this, I said it looks like some aliens or robots are trying to create colonies of humans for whatever reason, for their own purpose. And then like the one guy comes out of nowhere and he was like, you know, she is the wolf. I'm like, so are there real humans other places that, you know, those are humans that's just humans? And you know, you got some like these kids with these robots. It felt like an experiment to me, or a controlled environment that not being ran by humans. You know what I'm saying? And the first thing I thought when I saw this, I was like, I hope this ain't I Am Mother all over again, which was terrible.
Right. They call this robot Mother.
I know. That's what made me think of it.
I was like, bleh.
But you said this looks terrible to you, Tim.
I don't care about this.
Damn. Smooth. What you thinking?
I'm not curious.
I'm not sure yet. I mean, I was looking at the premise of it, too. Is she the teacher, pretty much, and teacher and protector, and then she turns rogue? And
what? I'm not so sure. I don't know if it's going to be about being rogue or not like that, because that guy, when he shows up, you know, he's dressed in skins. He don't look nothing like them. You know what I'm saying? He's like, oh, y'all sleeping with the damn enemy.
Yeah, but she's in the hallway screaming and got blood on her and stuff, and then she's howling at, I don't know, so... I don't know. I'm like, what is this going to be?
It's a Max. It's a show.
It's a show. Oh, so it's going to be more than one. It's going to be like an hour for each one, huh? Maybe like six or seven episodes. Yeah. Oh, how many? 10?
Waste of your time.
We're going to do a one shot on this.
Well, wait a minute. They might do a different trailer. And a different trailer could change your mind. It depends on how people respond to this thing. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Hopefully there's some big monsters in here. I think that'll help. Instead of like those humanoid monsters, you know.
Yeah, maybe. I did see that thing crawling across the top of the dome.
Like, like in Blade. That's those. What were those? Those vampires.
I thought a Gollum when I saw it. I was like, you know, my precious. No, precious. I was like, oh, they brought in Gollum in this damn thing.
Yeah, you can beat the shit out of Gollum, though. You can beat them Blade vampires, though.
I don't know, man. You just throw some sunlight on they punk asses and they out of here. Gollum, he was like gangly. He's like fighting, you know, he was so rubber bandy, man. Every time he tried to grab him, he was just wiggling his way out. Yeah. He was like, you can't get your hands on him. Come here, goddammit. You know?
Plus, he was so desperate. Desperation makes you a very hard fighter.
Oh, yeah. You probably punch Gollum.
He is fighting hobbits, man. I'm talking about against humans.
He's a hobbit size.
What? Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm just saying. If he was fighting, you know.
All right, Superman, we got you. You'll beat Gollum.
I'll beat the shit out of Gollum, man.
So that's it for the news, man.
Yes.
Look, you know me, I'll give anything a chance.
That's true.
I'll take a look at this. This might be a little different than we thought. I will say that the choices that HBO has been making, I mean, they're really trying to do it up with this new platform of theirs. They shut down HBO Go on July 31st.
Or HBO Now? Wasn't HBO Now?
HBO Go.
That was HBO Go.
And they had HBO Now.
There was HBO Now,
there was a Now and there was a Go. And Now you had to pay for if you didn't have HBO. Go they would give you if you had HBO. And now they just took all that shit away from you. Now you got to pay for it. unless you're an AT&T customer, right? Then you can have it for free until they decide we can't. So anyway. That's it, man. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back with our game. We'll be right back. All right, boys and girls, we are back doing our thing like we always do. Our second segment today, we are doing a game. Now, we got a brand new game. So, Tiff, go ahead and explain to the people what the hell are we doing?
Okay, we're going to do Top of the Box Office, which is where I give the contestants a year, and they can either guess flat out what the top movie of that year was, top box office grossing movie, or I can give them multiple choices. And if they don't go up for multiple choice, they try to answer flat out, and they get it wrong, then someone can steal.
Okay. All right. If they don't go for multiple choice. Same rules as before. Okay. So, take it away.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
Age before beauty.
Okay. You.
Okay. Montego.
Gotcha.
The year is 1992.
1992. Now, I'm supposed to...
What is the top grossing film of 1992? Do you want to answer straight out or multiple choice?
I cannot answer straight out. I will go for multiple choice.
Okay. A, Batman Returns. B, Aladdin. C, Lethal Weapon 3. D, Sister Act.
It definitely wasn't Lethal Weapon or Sister Act. It's either Aladdin or Batman. Batman Returns or Aladdin. I'm going to say Aladdin.
You are correct.
Oh, shit. I'm in there. Oh, that's wonderful.
All right, Smoove.
Mm-hmm.
Your year is 1985.
Oh, wow.
Can I answer straight out?
You know what?
Multiple choice.
I'm probably going to kick myself because I probably can guess what it is, but I'm not going to take that chance.
Take a chance, Smoove.
No, I'm not going to take a chance. I'm going to go ahead and get that multiple choice.
Okay. All right. So A, Rambo 2.
I wasn't thinking
B,
of that.
B, Rocky 4. C, Back to the Future.
Yeah, there it is. I knew it. That's what I should have said. Color Purple. I'm going to say Back to the Future.
That is correct.
Yep. I could have answered that flat out. I knew it too.
That's a big year for movies.
I knew it.
Sylvester Stallone was in two huge, huge successful movies. Boy, oh boy.
Montego, your year is 2016.
Go ahead.
Can you answer straight out or do you want multiple choice?
2016?
Yes.
Oh, choice.
Shoot. Okay. A, Rogue One. B, Me Before You. C, Moana.
Who?
D, The Magnificent Seven.
Oh, it's going to be Rogue One.
I don't think so.
That is correct.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Star Wars property. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know what the hell Moana was. What is that?
What is that, yeah?
Is that Disney movie that's really popular with kids?
Oh,
it's that paper cutout thing.
It's where it's the Hawaiian one.
Oh, that I could have lost because that probably made a butt ton of money.
I will say that most of the answers in the multiple choice are also highly grossing movies.
Oh, yeah. You got kids' movies. They normally destroy the box offices, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
That's true.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Smoove.
It's Smoove's turn.
Yep, it's me.
Your year is 2004.
Ooh wee. Don't know what happened that year.
I remember yesterday, right?
Right.
Go ahead. Okay. I guess you want multiple choice.
Yes.
Okay. A, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Oh, wow.
B, Kill Bill Volume 2. C, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Damn,
you had some hitters.
D, Shrek 2.
Woo.
Oh, you had some hitters, man.
Good luck, Smoove.
Right. It's between Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. I gotta go with the Potter though, man. I gotta go with the Harry Potter.
You have made a mistake.
Okay, it is wrong. Shrek 2.
Shrek 2.
I was thinking Lord of the Rings.
Shrek 2. Isn't that a fucking kick in the pants?
I thought it was Lord of the Rings.
That's a kids movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, and it's the second one.
Donkey.
All right.
I'm a donkey with a dragon and I don't use it. Go ahead.
Your year is 1996.
Oh, I'm going to have to. Yeah, I was too busy graduating from college back then. I don't remember that year.
Okay. All right. So A is Scream.
Wow.
B, Fargo.
I remember that.
C, good. Independence Day.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, man.
D, Jerry Maguire.
Oh, it was Independence Day.
Correct.
Yes, indeed. Definitely Independence Day. Ah. I mean, anytime you just see the White House is getting destroyed, you're just like, I'm in. I want to see that. Okay.
Okay. So, Smoove.
Yep.
Your year, 1980.
1980.
That's a very good year, Smoove.
That's a good year. What? Let me see. 80, 80, 80.
Just take the multiple choice.
I could have guessed it, though, but go ahead.
I'm sure you could have, Smoove.
I think I know what it is. Go ahead.
Okay. A, Empire Strikes Back.
I knew it, man.
B, Airplane. C, The Shining.
It's over.
D, Urban Cowboy.
I'm going to go with Empire Strikes Back.
That is correct.
Yeah, I thought Empire was 81.
This is according to Wikipedia.
Yeah. No. I'm just wrong. I know Star Wars
is 78, like, right?
Some movies come out 1 year, but by whatever technicality of the Screen Guild, it's like considered whatever.
Yeah.
1980s movie.
I knew it, though. I knew it was Star Wars.
You should have took that chance.
I should have.
Okay, Montego.
Indeed.
Your year.
Mm-hmm.
2018.
What the hell came out 2 years ago?
Oh, I know what came out 2 years ago. It's probably Endgame.
Is it Jurassic Park? Oh, it's multiple choice, but I can't play the long. I can't play the sweet game. I got to be safe.
Okay, multiple choice. Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, shit, it's over.
B, Black Panther.
I should have just said Avengers Infinity War.
C, Aquaman.
Mm-hmm. Big movies.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Big movies. I don't know why Bohemian Rhapsody is in there, but I think Infinity War just made just a little bit more money than Black Panther. I know Black Panther had blew everybody's let me stop being nasty. Blew everybody's cheeks off, but then Infinity War it's Infinity War.
No, it is Black Panther.
It is Black Panther. Black Panther made more than Infinity War. Wow.
Correct.
Okay. Good for Black Panther. But I could have swore I remember in the long game.
It creeped up on it.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, okay, so.
Contestants of these questions may be taken up after the show.
No, I'm not like, I'm just, okay. I'm accepting of all the rules.
All right, Smoove, this is your last question.
Okay, I could tie it up.
You could. 2006.
Really? How could he tie it up? Go ahead.
Because you got three.
Three, and he has two.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, 2006.
Give me that multiple. That multiple.
All right. Decisions. The Da Vinci Code.
Boo.
Go for the win, Smoove. You should have went for the win. Go
Boo.
Ahead.
Casino Royale. B, Casino Royale. C, Cars.
Ooh.
D, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest.
Dead Man's Chest. Which one was that? Two?
Two.
That was number two. And Cars. Ooh. Both of them were kind of kiddie. Then you got 007. I'm going to go with, you got to go with the kids, man, because we love the babies. Cars 2. Okay. It was probably wrong, but hey.
Okay, it was Pirates of the Caribbean.
Damn it,
Montego wins.
Indeed.
Pirates of the Caribbean. I should have went with Cars.
I would have went with Cars 2, though. No, if it was Cars, I would have went with Cars. Cars 2.
That was the kicker, right? Yeah. Cars 2.
So, I mean, I get the victory music, and we ain't had this in a while, man. So, that's a beautiful thing. Like, playing them tunes, that's great, man. You know, I thank you, Smoove, for, you know, being my contestant and stuff and not being a sore loser and stuff, you know.
Well, I'm number two.
You know.
I'm number two.
I thank you for not rambling on like you normally do.
But. I'm number two.
Oh, shoot. Hey, that's a sweet game, Tiff. I love it. I want to get to the point where I could just win some straight out, man. You know.
Yes.
Going to have me practice.
I think this was the first general one, but we could also do, like, best-selling movie of May 2009.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you can get real specific.
You can get specific. I like this game.
Of May.
So that's going to do it, man. We're going to take our final break, and we're going to come back with Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones with not so young skin, but very younger, much, much younger skin. we'll be right back. All right, boys and girls, I'm going to take you back through time. Back to 1993, where everything was fresh and clean, and optimism ruled the land, man. Back where there was absolutely no CGI in movies, and The only thing you could do was get in front of a blue screen or do it live action. And we went, we're going back to that time. We're going back to 1993, The Fugitive, man. Blockbuster hit at the time. Movie stars Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones. I think that was the first time they ever collaborated. Selena Ward. Julianne Moore was in this movie. Joe Pagliano, who became very famous afterwards. Andres Catalos. I've never seen him in nothing else. I'm trying to see if anybody else famous was in this thing. A bunch of people from the 80s.
Jane Lynch.
Oh, Jane Lynch. Yeah, Jane Lynch had a small role, and it took my daughter pointing it out. I was like, that is her. Jane Lynch was in this. Ron Dean, who played cops in back in 80s movies, and a whole bunch of guys that were actually former cops that just started being in any movie that they were filming in Chicago. You know, a lot of the cops you see and stuff, you know, like the Union guys and stuff like that.
So, also, Lester Holt is in this movie.
I saw that. He was like one of the reporters. My daughter pointed that out. She said, Lester Holt. I said, really? I'm going to have to go back and look. Lester Holt, man. So anyway.
Lester Holt is my favorite Dateline presenter.
Lester Holt, the whitest black man in America. I love him. I'm so stiff.
He has the same expression. He says, I'm happy to be here. It's a tornado. It killed 500 people.
Right. So he's in this, y'all. He's in this move. And it's so insignificant, we shouldn't even be talking about it.
But it's fun. It's like fun to see silly stuff like that.
Right. Like, you guys didn't even see, like, in the Spider-Man movie last year, y'all didn't see our boy in there.
What? Anderson Cooper?
No, not Anderson Cooper.
What?
Not Anderson Cooper. We were talking about Phil Lamar.
Was oh, yeah, yeah, he was. Yeah, he yeah. was, yeah.
So let's get it on, man. 1993, 2013, 2 hours, 10 minutes. That's pretty good. Action, crime, drama, mystery, thriller. Dr. Richard Kimball, unjustly accused of the murder of his wife, must find the real killer. We're being the target of the nationwide manhunt led by seasoned U.S. Marshals. Now, fun facts. This was actually based off of a real news story that was based here in Cleveland. Everly Bailey was the lawyer. It was a big deal. It's happened in Cleveland back in the 60s. And then they had a TV show back in the 60s, The Fugitive, searching for the one-armed man who they actually found at the end of the series. And so, you know, so this was based on an old TV show that was based on a real event.
Okay.
So, and this has spawned a sequel, U.S. Marshals, which made a lot of money and, you know, it just did a lot of the same things the first movie went. So before we get started, man, let's hit one word. Tiff, what you got? Oh, shoot, I'm still
Lengthy.
What a damn one word. Goodness gracious. Y'all are like a bunch of damn kids here with no damn patience for anything. Goodness gracious.
I'm sorry. I will get into it.
Shit.
It is wrong.
Smooth.
Harry.
What?
Harry situations, man.
Oh.
And Harrison Ford. See how that worked?
That's a super stretch.
Double play, yeah.
It's a super stretch double play. Right. Intense. That's my one word. Intense. The movie was very intense. I had to go back in time and think about this movie when I first saw it for the audience that it was introduced to. And even yesterday when I was watching it, I was still like, this is really, really intense. And hence meaning good for me. So, let's hit the spoilers. We're going to hit the spoilers so we don't mess up here and start tearing up this 20-something-year-old movie. And let's get it on, man. Movie stars very 80-ish, man, you know, even though this was the 90s. But I just noticed how they used to have the credits for the unions that last forever when the movie was coming on.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 10 minutes in. They were still showing
credits. Oh, yeah. Well, they took a little break from it, and then they were like, because that caught me by surprise, because there's a part where they're driving, and I was like, that's still happening?
Yeah, it was like, we didn't get into the plot of the movie, and y'all still showing credits. So, no big deal, but I thought I was the only one to notice that. I was like, wow, man, these credits used to just roll, because, you know, that was the contract with the unions. They had to, like, throw up the people working and stuff. So, movie stars, in a pretty brilliant fashion to me, they were showing you the brutal, at the time, very brutal murder of this lady.
Yeah.
Getting her ass beat. It with the black and white and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah, yeah. So what did you think, Smooth? I mean, you know, you're the violence dude. I mean,
that was disturbing. I don't like seeing women get beat up.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say that, Smooth.
She was defenseless. This is different if you fighting back, but yeah, she was defenseless.
Yeah. it was pretty brutal.
Yeah, it was.
So she's getting knocked around, and they have this grave music playing, right? You know, and you're just like, this is bad, Tiff. The lady's in trouble, Tiff.
So later we find out some stuff, okay? But as he's pulling up to the house to drop her off, he gets a call. That, right. Like, hey, someone, you know, needs your help at the...
with the hospital.
But, like, then he shows up there and they really do need his help.
He ran a damn thing. I noticed that.
It wasn't like a, like a ruse. Said, you know what I mean?
It said, Dr. So-and-so needed you for an assist. And he goes in, okay, everybody, get back. I'm here. I was like, oh, right. No, you're running
with
the
that
dude.
With that beard?
I like the beard on Han Solo.
I'm not fine. It's fine. The beard on him, like, specifically cool, whatever. He looks a little homeless. But my thing with it is that, like, I think... I prefer my OR doctors to be clean shaven.
Oh. Or have a beard cover on. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't want nobody's beard hair in my open wounds.
Trust me, Tiff, you wouldn't even know about it. You wouldn't know.
You wouldn't get a tickle somewhere.
You'll be fine. He'll be a part of you. You know, you guys will forever be connected. So, yeah, man. So they're doing something pretty interesting. They're showing all the events leading to this, which they could have, you know, added another like 15 minutes of the movie doing this and actually showing the events, but they don't.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't.
No.
This movie is long enough.
It is long.
Okay. He's doing his surgery and the woman is getting beat up and, you know, it's all this stuff. He's sitting in front of the cops, you know, being questioned and he's going back and forth and thinking in his mind. And I thought the director did a really good job. As he was sitting there, you know, they take him out of this gorgeous house.
Yeah.
And that's the 90s gorgeous and still gorgeous. You know?
It's still nice, yes.
And, you know, they walk him out. I notice he has blood.
And scratches on his neck.
You got Lester Holt outside talking about, Dr. Richard Campbell, you know, break in here.
Now, I wish they would have showed her, like, actually scratching him on the neck.
Well,
but I guess they didn't need to.
No, because that's the part of the movie, Smooth. Honestly, part of the movie, even though you were seeing this stuff here, you were still supposed to have some doubt of whether if he was involved in this or not. Because this is based on an old show, but they could have put a twist on it. You know?
A twist.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then they could have. Because even up in, and we'll get into it, but when they get to the courtroom and they're doing a thing and she calls out his name, you're like, damn. You know, like, ugh. You know, but then they quickly show the guy hang up the phone.
But he did some good acting where it showed that, you know, he was pretty distraught.
Yeah.
You know, I believed him.
Yeah, well, so then he's talking to these cops. Now, these guys, especially the guys with the glasses, I know the guy with the glasses for sure. They were real Chicago cops.
Oh, okay.
And then they were like, they literally started being in all these movies, like Code of Silence, any movie that was shot in Chicago and they had cops. These
Transformers?
Guys, no. Older. Oh, okay. 80s move. Come on now. This is the 1993 movie. So, yeah, that's why they were so flat footed and they were probably.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't understand. I was there.
Yeah. Yeah, what his eyes look like? They were such assholes when he started breaking down. He's like, well, why are you talking to us like this? What color is his jacket? What color is his eyes? How tall was he? It's right. Like, damn, dude. Okay, if he's not the guy, you guys are some insensitive bastards, you know. And I don't even know why Richard was there without his lawyer anyway. Anyway, you know, no lawyer in the room.
Right.
There's a lot of obviously. The process of the law is not exactly correct in this movie, but that's okay. It's a movie, right?
Long story short, they charge him.
He gets railroaded.
That night, they charged him.
He got railroaded that night.
Next thing you know, he's in a courtroom, and like I said earlier, with the wife saying his name and stuff, it wasn't looking good. And then we go all the way to, hey, the wife was rich, you were rich, but she was richer, which was crazy. And then premeditated murder, the death penalty, man.
Yeah.
Damn. I don't know. So where you at with this, Tiff?
So this part's fine. I mean, like, the whole movie is easily watchable is what I'll say. But yeah, this part's, I'm like, first of all, I guess I don't need these scenes. You could just show me, you could skip these scenes and just show me on him on a prison bus, right? Because I would make the cognitive leap that he had been arrested for his wife's murder.
No, I think it was very well done. It was nicely compact and, you know, like prepared for like your mom give you your lunch. First day of school, I think it was great. It's perfect. This stuff was perfect, right?
Also, they use the courtroom scenes to show Richard actually like coming into the house with a woman's, you know, where her ass was already kicked. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you had any doubt at that point, you know, the guy was finishing the wife off at that time, which made you just feel more sorry for Richard at the time. I think it needed it tough, but you know,
it was cool.
Okay,
me.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So. The movie really takes off, in my opinion, once you get to the bus scenes. I love the prisoners on the bus. They have so much personality in the little bit of screen time that they have, you know.
Yeah, the mean convicts.
I love the black guy, you know. He couldn't just say, everybody's saying check, check, yeah, here. He's like, what? Yeah. I'm like, oh, so they got the big asshole on board. They, yeah. You know, everybody's looking sneaky on board and stuff like that, like they're up to something. And then we have some veteran actors who are playing the bus, you know, guards and stuff that we've seen some of these guys before and stuff.
Yeah.
Here and there. Uh-huh. And so we're on a bus, man, and it's cold. They're filming in Chicago.
Oh yeah, it's cold.
It's cold. This is how people are treated. You know, they're brought out. They, you know, they don't have no coat on. They got shackles on and stuff like that.
This is like February, March.
Okay. Anyway, man, he's on this bus and it's something going nefariously happening here, man.
You know, yeah.
They're looking at. They're giving each other the prison look, Tiff. If you ever been to prison, yes. And I have not, other than working there, they're giving each other that look. And the guy gets sick, and immediately the young rookie cop jumps up to help. He gets shanked. He gets shanked, Tiff. You know,
yes, he has a little shiv made out of a
toothbrush.
You know, I don't know what their plan was, because they shanked the one guard. Immediately, the guard gets up and starts capping people with shotguns indiscriminately. They all got to go in his opinions booth.
Yeah, they did. He shot the one guy that shanked the one guy. And,
smooth. He was trying to shoot the rest of them.
He was. Even the doctor, yeah, he was like, I'm not taking any chances with you guys.
They were chained up, and yeah. he was a piece of garbage,
as we find out later on in the movie. We find out that he wasn't the best. CO or smooth. Cop at all.
I'm just wondering what you're going to say when it's over. Say if he was successful, right, y'all?
Uh-huh.
And he hits 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 prisoners, right?
Yeah.
They all got on shank. One guy shanked a prison guard. Okay. In shackles. That's
yeah.
one guy.
Yeah.
But I got all the rest of them. They all chained up with big bullet, with shotgun shells in their chest. What goes on your report?
Oh, he's going to make him say. He's going to say that they all rushed him.
Chief.
He's gonna say, I mean, he's,
close the damn gate, Chief.
Right.
So anyway, man, this is something that happens that we never seen in movies before. This was movie magic.
Oh.
This is before they could do anything. You know, they would literally do these goofy stunts that, you know, taking this bus and roll it down the hills and shoot it. You get one shot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they did this, and you know, the interior of the bus was probably blue screen. Were they flipping everybody up? They had never done this before.
Oh, that might have been in the studio. Yeah.
No, that was right. That's you know, right. The bus flipping, but that was something smooth. You know,
yeah,
they had to invent all that shit. You know, so the bus is flipping. That was an iconic scene. It was specific to this movie.
It was.
They flip down the thing. The bus is demolished and it lands on the tracks.
Yep.
So Tiff, what's going on now?
Okay, I wanted to say the scenes on the bus are my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
The whole movie. Well, why is that?
So they get on. It's just so much action. It's so crazy. It's got a lot of small details that are really great. So he looks out the window and he sees that they land on the tracks. There's a train coming.
Yes.
And before that he had, he's like, hey, you're a doctor. Help this guy who got shanked. And then he unlocks his cuffs and he's like, when he sees a train coming, he's like, help me get him out of the train or of the bus. And the guy's like, nope, every man for himself.
Show did.
He leaves.
Bye, buddy.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He gets, when he was about to shoot everybody, you already knew this dude's character was
hey, your ass is cooked, Chief.
Was messed up. Yeah, he was already a piece of garbage.
He tried to shoot all the prisoners.
Right. But he did do a good thing. He tried to fix him up, but then he seen that train coming, like, yeah, I'm out, man.
I'm through.
Yeah.
Y'all on y'all. Bye.
Right.
All of y'all.
All right, right.
He was probably like, yes. Now I can say anything that happened. Yes.
Well, what's crazy is that, like, okay, so he asked the other prisoner, Copeland, maybe is his name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, help him get the guy out. And he's like, nope. And then so he gets the guy out on his own. I am so sorry. This man was, like, stabbed. And he, like, rolled around. He throws him out that door like a rag doll.
He
rolls down in a ditch. This man survived.
He survived.
Yeah. That's a fucking miracle.
He survived. Now, before we move on, though, got to talk about this special effects. This wasn't Infinity War. There was no computer generation. It was a combination of live action and miniatures and all kind of stuff, and it was dope. And they literally hit a bus on some tracks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that, you know, in movie magic happen, and I'm like, they actually spent the money to put a bus on it, you know, and they did it, you know. So cool shit, man.
Yeah, this was.
It looks great.
It does. It does look good.
It looks great when it's gonna be real, right?
Yeah. Practical effects forever.
That was part of the trailer too. That's what got the the pull.
Like, got everybody
to come see it. Like, damn, he's getting chased down by a train.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So that was worth the price of popcorn right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got your money's worth.
Right.
You did. In 1993. So then, man, you know, Richard takes off, man. He's out into the night, man.
He's out.
And you know, everybody's rolling. Now, these are some of my favorite scenes because this is so 80s, 90s type of shit here. You know, they got this crime scene and everybody's like, you know, busy and stuff. And then here comes the feds, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And back in the day, we used to love the feds. You know, we love the U.S. Marshals. We love the FBI because they would always come over and I'm going to take over your investigation there, buddy. Right. You know, and no, you can't take over my investigation. Watch me. And we're like, oh, so cool, because we don't really like cops, but we like the cops of the cops who's better than the cops. And now they're telling the cops what to do. You know, dumb shit, right? That's the way we used to think.
Right.
So anyway, man.
Yeah.
Here comes Deputy Gerard with his team, played by Tommy Lee Jones, and he has Cosmo, and he has Noah, and he has this group of colorful characters who were so colorful and so likable, they were able to get a spinoff strictly on them. Bravo to this team. What were you about to say, Smooth?
No, I was saying Cypher was there, and yeah, they did do a good job. I like the interaction, especially when he said, "Why are you yelling at me?
Why are you yelling at me?
Right?
Why are you yelling at me?
He's like, yeah, yell at him. He's like, yeah, there you go. Yeah, yell at him.
Yeah, they make
he's always like, just jealous of the way that he's really nice to the lady, and then he's like, why are you always nice to her?
Yeah. It's a good team here, man. They got everything that make you like a team that works together. They work together well, and they all have specific
qualities.
Well, characters.
Yeah.
They're all different. There's not two people sitting there trying to act the same like you're seeing a lot now these days. You know what I'm saying? Mm. They have a lot of character. So he goes over, he takes over the investigation. We find out the one deputy lied about the whole thing, made himself the hero, and now he's a jerk. And then instantly Tommy Lee Jones does his Tommy Lee Jones things that we love Tommy Lee Jones for. He's talking with that authoritative figure above the crowd, above everybody. He's been gone for two hours. That gives him about 6 miles. Blah, 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 blah. And you're like, ah! I don't know, y'all. I'm just loving it when he does this kind of stuff. So, you know, he takes over the investigation. Go ahead, Tiff.
Okay. So he's looking in the woods and... it gets a little confusing because there's multiple parts where he's in the woods, but this is like when he's like running and he like sleeps in the leaves and shit, right?
No, that's before that. He takes off and he ends up finding a tow truck driver's old coveralls.
Yeah,
and then he goes to the hospital.
Yeah, and these are the meat and potatoes of this thing.
Yeah.
I love him, you know, being a average looking white guy. And can just go in, blend in the hospital, you know, eats the food of the person, stitches himself up.
Poor man.
He ate his egg sandwich.
Stole all his shit, ate his eggs, took his Jell-O cup.
The eggs look good, man.
Eggs did look good.
Richard made him look good. He was like,
he was all licking, his fingers and everything. So, yeah, he took his credit cards too, right? Yeah, he took all
He took everything from that man.
Well, he had to, Tiff.
Goes outside, sees the guard. The guard sees him. And he takes off in an ambulance. I wouldn't have took the ambulance, but he took the ambulance, I guess, because it had the keys in it.
Yeah, that's a really bad choice of a getaway car.
Well, I think that's the whole point, right? Richard is not a criminal.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Yeah, he has to eat whatever is there.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a dumb dude. He's a smart. No. He's a surgeon, but on the streets, he's dumb. He don't know what he's doing.
He's not thinking about being sneaky because he's innocent.
Right.
Because, well, he's like, oh, I'm innocent.
Well, the ambulance, I'm thinking he would take the ambulance because he can, like you said, turn the horn on and get further.
And smooth, and you would be caught as faster than Richard, man. You don't take no damn ambulance. You go blend in somewhere. You can't blend in with an ambulance.
All right.
It's like, might as well take a damn police car. Anyway.
Okay.
So this is the crux of this movie now. You know, he's just out there. He doesn't know why he's out there. He's just like trying to get away. And you got a death penalty, so why not, right?
Yeah.
And so... True. You know, Deputy Gerard gets on his trail because of the damn ambulance. They chase him down.
You get to see Tommy Lee Jones was like, what an idiot.
Right? Because he's like even saying stuff like, ambulance, what are you doing in ambulance? So they chase him to the bridge. He goes down on the top of the sewer grate inside the big tunnel. Dam. And this was in the trailer. Big scene here.
It was.
Yeah.
This movie pays off every time, man.
Until you seen the floppy doll, you know what I'm saying?
Well, wait a minute.
That was so great.
We didn't get there yet. So there's a huge scene that comes through here because he's slinking through the thing, and so does the deputies. They all go in. And, you know, he drops his gun. Tommy Lee drops his gun. He picks it up and he says, "I didn't murder my wife." And that scene when he says, "I don't care," was just mind blowing. You ain't never seen nothing like that before. The man was there to catch you. He don't care right. what you did or if he was innocent or if he was a jerk or if he was a nice guy. My job is to catch you. And I think that was a big point, you know, that of character development for Tommy Lee Jones's character. I'm not here about trying to solve a mystery. Put these shackles back on and go. You're going back to jail. I don't care what you want trying to do.
Yeah, you can kind of tell that when further down the line.
Well, that was the first. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. He was serious. I don't care.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Like you say, it's a movie. Jumps off the thing.
Looks like a Barbie doll. They throw a rag doll. Strong guy.
Right.
And like a miracle, he survives in the water.
Yeah,
survives.
No fucking way.
Yeah, he survives. That
he did a good swing.
I understand. It's a movie.
He survives.
Yes.
Comes out.
Unscathed. He comes out unscathed.
He literally gets away.
Yep, he gets away.
You know, so they got to find a way. I like they showed them trying. They were lost in the sewers. I was like, that's you're right. You wouldn't.
Yeah, he didn't leave any breadcrumbs there.
So quickly, you know, Tommy Lee Jones, Jeopardy Gerard, does not think he's dead. Everybody else thinks he's dead. And now we're closing in on Dr. Richard Kimball because he, you know, he gets out, changes his clothes, gets hitchhiked.
Shaves.
Everything.
Yeah.
And, you know.
He colors his hair.
Oh, that's right. He already shaved. Yeah,
a slightly darker color. I was like, what a waste of time.
Yeah, he should have just went blonde or something like that, right? So.
Right.
Our team here is ganging on him. He's inside a house, right? In the middle of the ghetto, so it looks like. And then, you know, they're all dressed up, smooth. And this is a cool thing.
That was kind of
cool. Damn, I wonder how they found him, you know?
Right.
And they go in. It's not him, man. You know, unless Richard gained about 200 pounds and they're having fun with a sister. Sister screaming. Right. It's the other prisoner, smooth.
Yeah.
It's my boy.
It's the baldy dude.
I like this dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, he takes Noah prisoner to,
mm-hmm.
you know, the lady screaming, comes around the corner, shoots the dude through Noah, goes on the other side of him. I thought he was going to sneak up on the clear side of him. He shoots past Noah and shoots the guy, and Noah's pissed, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, he saw it. He's like, you could have bargained, and Tommy Lee Jones said, hey. I don't bargain.
Yeah, you're like, he's seriously hurt. I don't bargain. Don't F with this dude, right. Tim. Oh my God. And dude wouldn't have lost his hearing forever in that year. You know, it's over, you know.
Yeah.
So he shoots our guy, man. No talking, no nothing. You know, you left, I'm going to shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of some ass. Well, you know, whatever. You know, I guess it's the way y'all train. Anyway.
Right.
Moving on, right?
Moving on.
So,
yes.
Richard is doing his thing, man. You know, he's we don't know what he's up to, but he says, "Find that man," when he woke up in those leaves, Tiff. That's the part you're talking about, you know.
Yes, he was sleeping in the leaves.
Right. Right.
Try to stay warm.
So cozy.
Yeah, he's trying to stay warm.
Covered in bugs.
Yeah. He woke up. Find that man. Man. You're like, okay. So that's the new focus of the thing.
Right.
So he goes back to Chicago, y'all.
Yeah.
You know?
Chi-town. He gets a room with you know, like you said, he gets a room in the ghetto.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he
what's wrong with him?
I just like, well, actually, that room doesn't even really even look that bad.
It didn't.
No,
actually, it didn't.
The people who own the house look bad.
Right? Yeah, they did.
It's like, you know, this old lady is never gonna let you have a moment's peace. They both gonna be watching you. This guy's gonna be stealing your wallet when you go to the shower.
Yeah, as soon as you leave out the house, he's in there rummaging.
So then we find out that Richard's looking for a one-armed individual, man.
Yeah, yes. He goes to the prosthetic lab.
Yeah, he's trying to figure out who this dude is, man. And then this is when the movie takes that super sleuth, you know, type of thing. You know, you can hear the Pink Panther music playing. You know, he's just trying to look for clues, y'all. You know, who's the one armed man?
This is where it gets a little long.
I like this part.
Yeah, it did get long.
It just gets a little long. Like, I feel like they could have shortened.
Well, they literally show you how he's like even formulating ideas of how to find.
They even show you how he makes his ID card.
Yeah.
They showed him how. Well, they were showing you how smart he was, and of course, with the interviews with the doctors were letting the cops know, you'll never find him. He's smarter than you. He's smarter than me. He's a smart guy.
Yeah, they interview his best friend. You know, he's a good guy. You know, yeah. And so we think.
so we thought. Yeah,
I saw Richard today because you know he stops him on the side of the road and stuff.
How much money do you think he gave him?
Probably about a good $300.
I think he probably gave him more than that.
Yeah,
he's like, just whatever I had on me.
This dude is like willing and dealing with a pharmaceutical company. He probably had about $2,000 in his pocket. You know what I'm saying? Just here, take this. It didn't look like $2,000, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, it was all hundreds.
He had enough to go get an apartment.
Yeah, that. He did. He sure did. That is true.
Pay for cash.
He sure did.
An apartment was probably only what, like $200 a month? Yeah, you know,
something like that.
Yeah, because it wasn't even an apartment. It was a room in a basement.
In
the cold. In a ghetto.
But it was nice. That was cozy.
It was clean.
It was clean. Yes, that's what it was, clean and cozy.
Yeah, so Tef. So, you know, yes. Like you said, he makes his ID and he's cleaning up all over the place, but he makes a fatal mistake that he keeps making, y'all.
Which is?
He sees little Joe about to die.
Oh, yeah, he can't, yeah.
You know?
It's the humanity in him.
And they're not paying attention enough because his school bus had an accident, right?
Right.
And, you know, he saves the boy's life smooth.
Yeah, he takes him to the correct area where he needs to get seen.
And the kid survives
and the doctor snatches his ID, runs. Oh, this is the whole... he was in the... He gets out of there.
She finds the ID. It was played by Julianne Moore, a young Julianne Moore.
That was Clarice, right? Clarice.
No,
she was in the second one.
That's Jodie Foster.
Oh, that's right. She was in the second one.
Yeah, she played the same character in the next movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doted.
It was Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs, Tiff, but was smooth as saying in the sequel.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore played her.
Yeah. It, terrible. And she was in Jurassic Park, right?
The second one. Yes.
She's always the
second kind of girl here. So, yeah, she was in the second one. And so, you know, everything he does, he leaves a trail. So the cops come, you know, the hospital, they're looking, they see he's looking for the one-armed man and stuff like that. Richard stumbles up through the process of elimination of finding the one-armed man, Tiff.
Yes. He does a really good job figuring out, like, he's been studying, he has all this stuff, he, like, knows, like, exactly what kind of arm it was, and so he puts all this stuff into the database.
Yeah.
He finds them. Five people.
He goes to his crib. He rummages through his shit. He gets all the answers that he needs, man, you know, by rummaging through his shit, man.
I was very confused. I think, like, this is the part of the movie where, like, you don't necessarily know.
No, like you had to be, like, paying attention really close in the beginning with the people he was meeting at that party, because they were all there except for the security chief, you know?
He kind of shows it. They kind of, like, show it, like, oh, he flashes back. It was this.
Yes.
It was that. And so he just grabs a couple evidences. He's like, this is all I need. I got it. So he calls.
I love that part when he calls.
Yeah, that was smart. Yeah.
But he wants them to find, which I thought, why would he leave the phone off the hook? But he wants them to find that.
He waited quite a long time before he got his ass out of there.
Man, he so did. They were in the area. He already had cops in the area.
What if they came up the back street? Your story is over.
Exactly. Yeah, he was cutting it close.
So the one-armed man comes home, and he just comes off as a true dick.
Yeah, I would. Right. I would be. You know,
no. But he just oozes dick smooth. It's just like
I'd be a little dicky too, man. You know what I'm saying?
I would be dicky too smooth. But on top of being dicky, he just all that dick, he's a dick.
He's a dick. Period. Yeah.
And it just makes you look. It makes you like, okay. So Tommy Lee Jones doesn't really like any bullshit in this movie. He's not. He's a no bullshitter. And so like, he doesn't already like this guy.
Right.
And then he's being a dick. I'm like, you're digging yourself a hole, my dude.
Yeah. I'm a one-armed man. It must be me.
Wasn't he a cop though?
He was an ex-cop. So anyway, man, you know, Richard Kimball, they know what he's doing now. So he wants to go, and he wants to go to the county courthouse, man, to check some records, man, you know?
Yeah.
And what a mistake. I love the scene when he gets in the elevator with a billion cops.
That was good. I like that. Well, it was what movie? It was another movie like that where dude was he was dirty as hell. And that was Carlito's Way. Yeah.
So, you know, they show up, they spot him and chase him. And you really see at this point, Deputy Gerard is a trip because he's doing kill shots the whole
time.
That's
what I was about to say. Like when he said, I don't care. I don't care. I'm what he got
kill shots.
Yeah, what he,
he gets away. He gets away through the parade and stuff like that.
Smart man.
And so, you know, he basically tell the cops, I'm going to the hospital, you know, because they go and interrogate the black guy. And with the help of Sue Sylvester, they finds out exactly who was happening. You know, it's all about this pharmaceutical company and this drug that they falsified to say works that doesn't work at all.
Right. And actually, it gives cancer.
It's bad. Yeah. It's bad, Tiff. It's bad.
Yes. Like, he was in trouble, quote unquote, with this company because he was going to, he had exposed them or was going to expose them for being bad.
Yeah, but turns out, and that look on his face when he realizes that it's his boy, you know, that, you know, he thought it was Lentz. Lentz was murdered.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you know, he's just stopped and looked up like, son of a bitch. My buddy just handing me cheese and being cool, just been playing me for a sap the whole time.
Yeah, because he sent the guard. Yeah, they sent the killer, the assassin, to where he was going to be at, but the cops were there.
Damn.
Also, so he couldn't do the job there.
So he follows him. He's on the subway.
Yeah.
I love the subway fight. But I just got one thing to say.
Okay.
Damn, Richard. You know, I'm glad you are a cardiovascular surgeon and you never learned how to fight. And Harrison Ford, you sold it because ain't no way the one-armed man should have been whooping your ass like that.
Yeah, right. I was thinking the same thing.
Whoop his ass. He got one arm. Yeah, what are you doing wrestling with him? Take it off and beat him with it. But he didn't, man. Beat him with the leg.
Yeah, hit him on one side. Yeah, go to his weak side.
Oh, my God.
The one-arm side.
So the one-armed guy shoots a cop in front of many witnesses.
Man.
I'm like, your life is over, dude. All these people saw you kill this dude.
Yeah.
So he gets off and he makes his way to the hospital smooth. And I love the scene when he shows up in the middle of the speech. And everybody's, I'm like, oh, shit. You know, the tension was there, Tiff. It was just like, yes. And he's like, you switched the samples.
Yeah, that's what I kept saying. You switched them.
You switched the samples. He switched the samples so he could have Prolasic. And I'm like, I love this. I love this.
Oh my God.
So they go outside and they do rich white boy fight.
Oh man, he's beating the hell out of him.
I don't like this.
I love it too.
He's beating the hell out of him.
It takes him so long to like lose any kind of momentum.
Hey, it was straight rich white boy fighting.
Yeah, but he was beating the hell out of him though, man. Like, damn, dude can really fight, man.
It was like, and neither one of them could fight worth a damn. But and I'm glad because we've seen Indiana Jones, we've seen Han Solo.
Yeah.
He had to be overprivileged white dude that couldn't had never fought a day in his life. And I loved it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Because he was getting beat up.
I loved it.
Harrison was
so they fight, man. And then next thing you know, dude has a gun, right? They're down in the laundry room. The U.S. Marshals show up. Everybody gets intense.
I want to talk about this laundry room.
Okay, let's talk about the laundry things. Room. Two things.
They all come in. They're looking for him. There's all these workers. They're working. They're like, he's like, get these people out of here because, like, obviously it's not safe. And they're like, okay, everybody get out, stay orderly. I'm like, that would be rad if someone comes to work and you have to leave because it's dangerous.
I'm done for the day. See you later.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done for the whole week. I gotta go home early. Right. Stupid me, because I thought I had seen this movie before, but I hadn't. I thought that he was going to be in one of those laundry bags.
Surprise!
Which one of these laundry bags is he in? Spoiler alert for anyone that he wasn't. I was a little disappointed, to be honest.
So, you know, they do the cat and mouse, and he's about to shoot the federal agent, right? And Richard Kimball saves the day with a pipe to the head. Yeah. Bam! Got his man.
And
they still put him in shackles.
Yeah, that's for...
Well,
yeah,
Tommy Lee was like, I know you're innocent.
But...
Well, he says to him, I'm glad it's over. You know?
Yeah, he did say that.
So he takes him out in shackles, but then in the car takes him off and gives him some ice and says, don't tell nobody, you know, that he got a little bit of heart. And I just thought it was this end of the movie, y'all. I love it. I love this movie. And I don't love the second movie. You know, I loved it at the time because I just wanted more, you know, of this thing. But I think it's an excellent movie. It literally, in my opinion, holds the test of time. If you can get over the old-timey cars, I mean, it holds up. Some of the movies don't. You know, you watch them now. I mean, Tiff, this was your first time watching it. You thought you saw this. You know, other than it being long, which movies kind of...
No, I was entertained.
Right.
Like, I didn't mind watching it.
And we also have to think about movies, pacing for movies changes over time. You know, you go back to black and white movies and the pacing was so
super slow.
But, you know, now they're just boom, 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 boom. But for the 90s, you didn't notice this pacing. I thought the pacing was, you know, right on time.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Made me feel smarter.
Yeah.
So, do you want to know some alternative casting choices?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Harrison Ford was not originally cast, so they had some other actors, including Alec Baldwin.
I could see that because he was hot back then.
He could have made it, yeah.
Nick Nolte.
That would be great.
He was hot back then.
Kevin Costner.
Kind of young for that for this role back then, but okay.
Yeah, Michael Douglas.
Oh, well, he would have been. He would have had to have a screw scene, you know, some raunchy screw scene. That's all he was doing with the movie. Was like, you know, like, God damn, why is he sexy? When did he become sexy? Anyway,
he would have had to show his butt.
And then for Tommy Lee Jones, other people were Gene Hackman.
Oh, that would have been great.
That would have been good, yeah. Less wrinkles.
And John Voight.
John Voight. Ah!
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Maybe.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gene Hackman would have been great. Yeah, you got Gene Hackman. Yeah, same caliber actor. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that
would
have been good.
I would even like to see Christopher Walken.
No. Oh, you're alone. You're on an island with that was smooth.
That would have really changed the movie.
What was his name? Doctor Richard. Richard, what are you? Richard. I don't know what you're doing. Come over here. Anyway.
Richard, I know you're innocent.
I don't care, Richard. Anyway. So that's it, man. That's it for Fans of Patrol. We came to do the damn thing. We got it done. Next week, man, we're going to come back with our one-shot Warrior Nun. And the main topic will be the Umbrella Academy, the full beginning to the end. So we're going to do that. So stay tuned for that. So that's it for Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is my studious and sensitive co-host, Miss Tefobot. Say goodbye to the people, Tef.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
My other co-host,
SMOOVE, spelled smooth. And I have
nothing
to say.
Okay, so until next week, we will be
on patrol.